Friday, Cheryl and I got a call late in the morning to go up to Fargo because our granddaughter was about to come into the world. So she was born. And yes, I'm shamelessly going to show you a picture of our newest granddaughter. She's so beautiful. Peyton Lila Green. You know, as you look at her, you just think, oh, life is so amazing. What a blessing, right? What a joy to have this little girl come into our lives. God is truly good. What a blessing we have received. You know, and so after staying there the afternoon and enjoying time with her and holding her and hearing her first cries and being with her parents and her siblings, we just kind of left the hospital and got ready to go back across the bridge to Fargo, and just thinking to ourselves what a great, wonderful day this has been, and kind of in the sense of awe and wonder of God. And so as we were driving from Fargo to Moorhead and we come up to the Memorial Bridge and that stoplight there, I could see off to my right-hand side, I was in the passenger seat, a guy standing there with a cardboard sign. And to be honest, I really couldn't tell you what it said because I didn't want to know what it said. I kind of, you know, ignored it a little bit. And I did catch on the bottom that it said, God bless you. And as I thought about that, and I kind of tried to avoid contact because now we had stopped right by the light and this guy was over here and I was kind of like, you know, this. I thought, well, you know, maybe I ought to do something. You know, I'm not sure, but maybe. So I knew I didn't have any cash in my wallet, so I tried to kind of just ignore it a little bit. But God was reminding me of the blessings that I had just received, you know, through the gift of this healthy baby granddaughter, and what a joy it was. And so maybe God was reminding me through this man with a cardboard sign that said on the bottom, God bless you. John was offering me some cash to give him as we were trying to decide what to do. And then the light changed. And instead of holding up traffic, I thought, well, you know, it's best to just move on. I said, let's go. It's too late now. We missed the opportunity, so we pulled away. And then we switched lanes because, of course, it's spring and it's construction zone. So we got into a lane and began to cross over on the bridge. You know, I knew that it wouldn't take long with all that was going on in that day to let that feeling that I had missed something pass, that it would soon go away, and that shoulda, woulda, coulda, what would you do, I'm still blessed anyway, feeling would subside. Today, we're going back to the Gospel of John. We're going to a section that we didn't get to before Easter, and this is a section that's sandwiched between Jesus' public ministry and before he went to the cross and he died and was raised again. And so it's a very intimate time that Jesus is spending with his disciples. You know, he had that Last Supper with them, and now he knows where he's going. He knows he's about to die, and he wants to spend this time with his disciples, explaining to them what is about to take place. He knows that this is going to take a toll on his disciples, and he wants to make sure that they know that they have hold of a couple of critical things before he leaves them. So in the quiet of that last evening, in the privacy of the upper room, Jesus is revealing what and how things are going to go. So what he shared with them that night remain for us some vitally important things, things as we live into being followers of Jesus and making followers of Jesus. So in John 14 and 16 today, we gather around Jesus as he shares with his disciples what they need to know to remain faithful and to be encouraged and to be fruitful followers of Jesus in the kingdom of God. So what do we need to know? Well, one of the things that we have to know to carry on is that we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, Jesus is speaking, keep my commands and I will ask the Father, God the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So, you know, we know that the disciples knew Jesus, right? They were with him. They had him. And they were coming to know God the Father as Jesus was revealing God's very presence through his own life. But they didn't yet know the Holy Spirit because he hadn't arrived yet. But they would. So in this passage, we have this, the Trinity, you know, the whole experience of God. The scripture explains God in this way, and the best way that we can articulate that is God reveals himself as, you know, God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, you know, the incarnate, the one who came in the flesh, who died for our sins and was raised again, and who is with the Father, and then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, Father, and Son present with us through his Spirit today. And so if we come back next week, the DC kids are going to try to articulate this to you in their words, and I'm praying that it goes well for them. But, you know, these are some kind of hard concepts, in a sense, to get. How do we explain God in this way? Well, Jesus says it this way: anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we, Father and Son, will come to them and make their home with them. So it's a union between Father, Son, and believer through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So this is an amazing reality if we accept it. So this isn't a complete study of the Holy Spirit today, but the Spirit is given a couple of names, and we'll just explore these a little bit. He says the Spirit is the Advocate and the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus used these terms to help explain both someone who is there to help us and to bring us, reveal the truth. So we have the Holy Spirit, who is both our helper and our teacher. So we'll start there. Remember, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's going to go to the cross, and his disciples have been with him for these last 3 years. And when he leaves, they're in a sense going to be lost. They're going to certainly feel like they are alone, like God has abandoned them, that Jesus has abandoned him. But he wants them to know that they will not be alone. So they will have the Holy Spirit with him. So how will they know this? You know, for all of history, God's people have really desired to know God, to know God's way, so that they can walk in it. You know, there's a desire for God's people to really do the things that God calls us to do. The psalmist says it this way: show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And if we're honest, I think for all of us, the biggest question is, so God, I know you, I want to follow you, so what do you want me to do, right? Where do you want me to walk? What is it that I am supposed to be doing today, tomorrow, you know, with the rest of my life? God, what is it that we are to do? You know, maybe if God would only show me, then we would know the way and we would certainly hope to walk in it. So when Jesus sat with his disciples that last night, he revealed to them how things were going to go, how it was going to operate after Jesus had died and rose and left them and went to the Father in heaven. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit, is to remind us of what Jesus said. You know, there is a work of a revelation work that the Holy Spirit does, and he reveals to us things that we just could not know on our own. You know, God, the Holy Spirit does that, reveals these kinds of things. But there is also another work that I think we need to recognize, and that is what the Holy Spirit reminds us. For me, a man holding a sign with three little words, God bless you, became a reminder of what Jesus teaches. You know, this work of the Holy Spirit being a reminder actually might require a little more of us than revelation. You know, God, just show me. You know, just zap me with a lightning bolt and I'll know what you want me to do. And if I'm still alive, I'll do it. But, you know, more often the Holy Spirit's work is reminding us of what Jesus taught us. You know, that what Jesus revealed to us and is recorded in the scriptures by the disciples, you know, their witness, their what they saw and what they heard, what Jesus said, that's the kinds of things that we need to do, that deep, hard, difficult work of beginning to know and understand. you know, to be in the Word, to read the Word, to acknowledge the Word, so that when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will remind us and bring back up within us what the Word teaches us, what God is already revealing, reminding us of everything that He has done. So in seminary, we were having a big test, and before the test, the professor prayed for us, and he said this way. He made it clear that if we studied well and we had done our work beforehand, before the test, then he was praying that the Lord would help us to recall all the things that we had studied. But he made it clear that if we hadn't done the work, that God wasn't going to remind us of the answers that we hadn't studied. It was a kind of a practical prayer. See, this prayer wasn't a prayer of revelation. Lord, fill my mind with the things I don't know and didn't study. It was, Lord, fill my mind, help me recall the things that I do know and the things that I have applied my life toward. And so I added a little extra to that prayer that day because I didn't do the work that I was supposed to. But you see, that's part of the revelation, the revealing work, the reminding work of God. You know, I'm not diminishing what the Holy Spirit can do, you know, but it seems like for the disciples, they had to be with Jesus before they could be reminded of Him. You know, the disciples were with Him. They worked with Him. They ministered with Him. They ate with Him. They did all kinds of things with them. And as they did, they began to know and learn God's way. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit was going to remind them and teach them. So the question becomes for us, are we doing the work of being with Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can remind us of who He is and what He has said? So one of the reasons I think that we don't want to, you know, get into the Bible and get into the New Testament specifically is because we really don't understand what it says. You know, if you've tried to read the Bible, it's not always easy to put it all together. I know, I've been there. I still try to figure it out. But, you know, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit as well. When we pick up the Scriptures and when we engage them, then we invite the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal to us, what do these words say? What does it mean? What does it mean for me to be your follower and to walk with you? The Holy Spirit enlightens for us what's in there. And if we're a believer in Jesus, then we have the Holy Spirit at work doing that in our lives. You know, there's an interesting account in Acts 8 of an Ethiopian and the early evangelist Philip. The Holy Spirit led Philip to go from Jerusalem down a road leading away from Jerusalem, and there was an Ethiopian official who had been in Jerusalem and was heading home, and he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah, but he didn't understand what that book was saying. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. And so as he did, he had an opportunity to help this official understand what he was reading in the Scripture. And this official then began to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was baptized in that very moment. And this happened as the Holy Spirit led Philip to intervene, you know, with this person reading the Bible. But here's the thing, you know, we have good teachers and good leaders, like our Sunday school class up here teaching our students and our kids. But we don't always have to have a Philip, an Ethiopian, or a Sunday school teacher by our side to know the Scriptures. Sometimes we simply just need to engage it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it. So we have a really neat experience coming next fall. I know it seems like a long ways away, but it's called the Community Bible Experience. And we have an opportunity to work with the Covenant Church and Biblica, publisher of Scriptures and the Bible, to read through the New Testament in 40 days. It's called a Community Bible Experience. And so we're going to engage that together as a church and read the New Testament together as we come back next fall. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah, so we say we're people of the Word, so we're going to put that into practice and be the people of the Word. It's really exciting what has been put together for us there. Today, as you walk out, if you haven't had an opportunity, there's a devotional out on the bench. It's called Our Daily Bread. Many of you have it, but there's several extra copies. Grab one of those. It's a great way to engage the Scripture every morning or every evening through that. So the point is, you and I need to know what Jesus said as the Holy Spirit works through us to bring that word of God. So as John and Cheryl and I drove across the Memorial Bridge in Fargo, in this one lane, going quite slow, there was a group of students or young adults standing on the middle of the bridge with, guess what? Cardboard signs. And we were going slow enough so I could read what the signs said. And the first one said, God is, you know, and they were standing up there jumping up and down. They really wanted to get our attention. And it said, God is, and then God is, you know, love. God is kind. God is joy. God is compassionate. God is peaceful. God is faithful. And God is love. There might have been a couple more in there, but all these phrases about who God is. And I thought as I drove by, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is trying to say something to me. What do you guys think? What do you think the Holy Spirit might have been saying to me in that moment? Back up. But there were cars behind me. So Cheryl was driving, so we crossed the bridge, and I was like, we got to turn around. So she's maneuvered her way around all the traffic and what was going on, and she got a place parked fairly close to the bridge, and John was digging in his wallet, and he handed me a $5 bill, and so I got out of the car, and I walked up across the bridge, wondering, you know, what was going to happen here, but I had a little bit of a plan, a prompting, possibly, of what I might want to do. So, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people did not believe in me, Jesus said. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no more. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. You know, you and I could talk about what is right and what is wrong all day long, really. We could have a real political-style debate about it, couldn't we? For days or weeks or even months, it seems like. But if we just talk about it, that's all it is, until the Holy Spirit actually takes hold of me or you and reveals in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, the truth of God. And when that happens, then transformation begins. It's no longer talk. It is now real and part of our very lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings conviction to us about what is wrong and what is right in our lives. And conviction is not the same as condemnation. And this is important to understand. Conviction of what's wrong calls us to repentance. It calls us to seek forgiveness. It calls us to ask for grace and to turn our lives around so that we can then walk in God's call and God's command. But condemnation does something totally different. Condemnation turns us away. Condemnation is a rejection, and it causes us to turn away from God. So people around us and ourselves, we need to know the conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings us around to repentance and to following God, but they should not have condemnation, not condemnation for God's people, not condemnation through us. We are called to be the people who call people to repentance through the conviction of the Spirit and through the good news of the gospel. So Jesus goes on, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So we live in an age where truth is kind of elusive. It seems like there's no consensus really around what truth is. And absolute truth almost seems offensive or arrogant. But is it really so different now than it was in Jesus' day? Jesus was before Pilate, the one who sentenced him to death. And Jesus was telling him, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. To which Pilate replied, what is truth? Isn't that the question for us today, really? What is truth? You know, even the psalmist in the Old Testament wanted to know the truth, God's truth, to walk in his ways. So if we look outside today, we see spring and in full bloom. It's almost as if the whole town is screaming, you know, spring is here, it's here, enjoy and celebrate. All the flowers and trees, all color. It's officially spring. You know, the biblical prophet Isaiah talked about this, what happened when the captive people of Israel discovered God's presence and freedom. It's in Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. We can see this picture right there in Scripture. And Jesus described it another way of saying, rivers of living water will flow from within us. So when the Holy Spirit is present in our and at work in our lives begin to bloom, to flourish. The truth of God is he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what is here, what he hears. So in other words, there's nothing that the Holy Spirit will reveal that isn't true, that isn't truth. And if we're feeling like the Holy Spirit is leading us, but we're finding out in Scripture that that isn't really what Scripture says, then we can be pretty confident that it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the truth of God, the truth of God's revelation, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, he will tell you what is yet to come. And for us as followers of Jesus, you know, it's that encouragement that, you know, in the end, God wins. Yes, Jesus said, we will have difficulty, we will have trouble, but do not fear or do not be discouraged, for I have overcome the world. Jesus goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so this is something we need to trust, that the Holy Spirit is making known to us Jesus and the Father. So Matthew 28 tells us to go out and make disciples of all nations. How many nations? And to baptize them and teach them to, you know, on the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything. What are they supposed to obey? Everything that he commands you. You know, and I think about this and I think, wow, this job is a lot. I mean, it's way too much work for me. I think it's way too much work for our church if we're doing it on our own and in our own power. But we're not, right? Because we have the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit with us. And second point, we're not alone. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Jesus says, it's good that I am leaving you. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So where is Jesus today? You know, as I walked along the bridge, I came up to this group of students, and I wanted to engage them, these young adults, and explain what I was experiencing, what I was seeing. And I wasn't sure if they thought I was there to criticize them or to encourage them. But they were willing to listen to me, and they explained what they were doing, and they showed me their signs. And so I got it, and I said, so if God is, you know, good and kind and compassionate and all these things, if God is love, then do you want to demonstrate that to those around you? And they said, yes, you know, unanimously, yes, we want to demonstrate God's love. And I said, okay, there's a guy on the other end of this bridge who also has a sign. He's talking about God, and he has a need. And so I said, here's $5. You can, I'm encouraging you to take this $5 to the other side of the bridge and go and demonstrate God's love for real. You know, what they're doing is great, sharing about God's love. Now we have the opportunity to demonstrate it personally. And then they thanked me. They were excited. I turned around and walked back to the car where Cheryl and John were waiting. When I got to the end of the bridge, I looked back, you know, and I could no longer see them. So I assume that they went and did just that. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. You know, we can give money to a hungry beggar, or because the light changed and it's inconvenient, we can just let it pass by. But only the Holy Spirit can take a simple situation and use it to mobilize his people to act in loving obedience and bring glory to the Father. We can't do it alone, but the good news is we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us and is present with us. The Spirit of truth, The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. If you're a believer, you know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, Jesus isn't walking this planet in the flesh right now, but that doesn't mean that we're alone. We're never alone. God is always present with us. God is always there through the Holy Spirit. In every circumstance, in every place, and everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is with you, and the Holy Spirit is with us as a church. So the question becomes, I'm skipping verse 20, are you committing yourselves to this journey of being a follower of Jesus on your own power and strength? Or are you relying, are you consciously dependent on the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in and through you today? I'm going to invite Susan to come up, and she's going to share a little story about listening to the Holy Spirit. She shared this last night about her journey, and I thought it quite interesting.
So I'm up visiting from Belize, Central America. And Tim had visited us earlier, and Mom and Warren had visited us in February. And I got the opportunity to take a couple weeks off of there. And as I was traveling, I flew into Dallas, and I had an overnight layover in Dallas. And I was having a hard time finding where my airport shuttle was. I flew in later in the evening, and I didn't have a phone activated, so there was some gentleman helping arrange transportation there, and it ended up they were all Middle Eastern men. So first I talked to a man from Ethiopia and with very, pretty broken English. He was very helpful, let me use his phone to try to make a contact where I'm going to find this airport shuttle. Then the airport shuttle was driven by a Somalian man, and they made their stops to several different hotels, and I was the last one to be let off. And then I was chatting with him a little bit in the car then as we were going, and, you know, I enjoy doing that. I guess I have a little bit of my dad in me, but I also see the value of people. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And in Ephesians 1, it says, you were called in him before the foundation of the world. And then in Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 43, it says, I have called you by your name. You are mine. And so even people that don't know him, I see that value in them. I see how God values them. And especially these guys that are, you know, 20 to 30 years old, God has a purpose and a calling in their life, and he wants to reveal himself to them. So I'm chatting with them, and then I get to the hotel, and behind the desk is two men from India. And it kind of comes out as I'm checking in that, yeah, I'm coming in from Belize, and what do you do there? And I'm sharing, we work with children, and children that have been neglected and malnourished, and as we're visiting a little bit, and they're asking, you know, what are some of the reasons? Why is this happening to the children? And where are their parents and things like that? And I'm explaining, and I'm bringing into it some spiritual implications of why that's happening, too. Well, the next morning as I was checking back out, ended up one of these same men was coming back on duty. And when you're sharing with people, I so often find out that the one you're speaking mostly to, God is often dealing with the one that's over here listening. You know, that's even with our children a lot of times too, I think. You know, we're making impacts. We're making tremendous impacts on people that are around us that we don't necessarily know how much they're listening. So I'm checking out, and he's telling me, I really appreciated what you said last night. You know, I come to work, I go home. I come to work, I go home. Someday, I want to give back to society like you're doing. Someday, I want to do something too. So I walk out the door, and I'm waiting for the shuttle, and I'm just getting this prompting of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, I finally had to walk back into the cafeteria, and I got a napkin and wrote down that prompting that I was hearing from the Lord. And I wrote, it's not what you do. It's who you are. You were made with purpose for a purpose. And I wrote Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And I handed it to him, walked back out the door, glanced over my shoulder, and I saw him just intently looking at it. I know that was a Holy Spirit connect. Now that I can leave that with him, because I know the Holy Spirit will continue the work in his life. But in Corinthians it says, he chooses the weak things of the world. He chooses the things which are not, that no flesh may glory. And it's not that I'm anybody special. I might be a missionary, but each one of us has that opportunity to influence. And it's not hard. When the Holy Spirit does the prompting, there's a flow. There's that connect. And it's a sweet thing. And so I just encourage you all to, as you move about, as you don't know who you're going to influence. Just be open. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you. And so finally, the last question I have for us is, you know, are we committing to this journey as a solitary Christian, or are we committing to this journey as the body of Christ, that the Spirit is filling us together and equipping us to build one another up for his good works, joined together to serve his purposes, and empowered to be the healthy missional church that God calls us to be, to go deeper in Christ and further in mission. So we need to know today this one thing: we are not alone. So I encourage you to go ahead and walk across the bridge and experience his presence, the presence of the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen.